We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, you have stretched out another Lenten season before us. Take us by the hand. Show us the light of your glory. Show us the passion of your heart that you would send your Son to bleed and die and rise that we might be yours for time and eternity. Bless us. Make this a holy season in our heart of hearts, dear Lord, that we might praise your holy name and drink in your grace divine. In Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Dear fellow blood-bought souls, this Lenten season, we're either going to live by the truth or we'll die by lies. The problem, however, is truth often is as rare as gold, while lies, that's as plentiful as the air around us. How will we ever distinguish the two? Did you hear this last week that David Carr passed away from lung cancer? David Carr is a world-renowned columnist, or was a world-renowned columnist for the New York Times. Millions of readers all throughout the world. At an interview with Charlie Rose many years earlier, David Carr described that portion of his life where he was in the grip of drug addiction. It was a painful and bitter and ugly time in his life, and yet he reported it with such candor and honesty. He said at that time in his life, all he lived for was to shove more stuff into his system. That's all that mattered to him. Everyone and everything in his world at that point suffered because of his addiction. He was self-destructive. His love for whiskey and cocaine and virtually every other drug trumped everything else in his life. He didn't care what happened to them. He didn't care whether his addiction totally destroyed his girlfriend or destroyed his career or destroyed his health. As bright, brilliant, gifted as he was living a lie. And it was crashing in around him and he didn't even recognize it. He was living a lie because he was hiding it from those he didn't want to know. He was lying to himself that he really had control of this. It didn't have control of him. And he was lying to his girlfriend every time he told her that he loved her, because he really loved his drugs. How often have our lies come crashing down on our heads? How often have we been squirming in torment and anguish and asking ourselves that question, how did this all happen? Only to soothe ourselves with yet another lie. Oh, it must be someone else's fault. This Lenten season, the God of all truth steps into our world of lies. He brings us his powerful, eternal truth. More of the question this Lenten season is, will we drink from his cup of truth, or will we drink from Satan's bowl of maddening lies? Where will we be a couple months from now? This Lenten season, we'll move through the different Wednesdays, focusing in on all those times when Jesus says that word, I tell you the truth. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He tells us the truth, even when it hurts. Do we want to be people of the truth? Do we want and hope and pray, Lord, let the light of your truth break through the darkness of our evil, wicked lies? That'll be what is put before us this Lenten season. Truth number one. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. a slave to sin? Isn't that a little overboard, Jesus? Mr. Carr never planned on becoming a monster, so evil and wicked and brutal. His addiction was his master. He was like the dog at the end of the leash, no longer making his own conscious decisions. No, he was at the beck and call of his addiction. His addiction told him when he was going to eat and sleep. His addiction determined whether he was going to lick a hand or bite the hand. His addiction, as much as he didn't want it to, filled his head and his heart with thoughts of paranoia and fear and dread. Nightmare after nightmare. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Mr. Carr made an interesting observation in one of his columns of his newspaper. He wrote about drugs. He said, "Drugs, it seems to me, do not conjure demons. They reveal them." Wow, what an interesting perspective. Mr. Carr had his demons, whether he was on drugs or not. It was simply the drugs that gave his demons a way to come out and get control of him and torture him nearly to death. And in that way, you and I are just like Mr. Carr. Oh, we might not be addicted to some drugs, but oh, we have demons. Demons who are always knocking at the door, who are always trying to find a way of getting out and getting control of us and putting us on the end of their leash. We simply call our demons the sinful nature, sinful flesh. But oh, how wicked they truly are. And notice how Mr. Carr and Jesus agrees. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Without divine intervention, we too are at the other end of a leash, and our sinful nature is in control. As much as we like to deny it, how we are consumed and live in our sins by nature. We shoot our veins full of the toxic lie that truth is whatever you want it to be. If it sounds truthful to you, we stuff our face and gorge ourselves on the lie that pleasure and happiness is all that really matters. That's what I'm living for. And no matter how much we don't want it to be, and we know that it's wrong, our demons, our sinful nature, really doesn't care who we hurt in the whole process. Just as long as we get our way, we can slay friends and terrorize our spouse and poison our children, all so that our demons don't have to come out into the light of day and be revealed for what they truly are: wickedness in us and through us. And as long as we lie to ourselves, we add a little bit of darkness to this world when we let our sinful nature be in control. Isn't it remarkable the things that come by nature? Not only breathing, but breathing out lies. No one has to teach us how to butter up someone or shred them to pieces. We don't have to go to school to learn how to feel sorry for ourselves and yet have absolutely no compassion for anyone else. Why, from our very first words, we know how to lie, how to distort the truth, how to shift the blame on someone else, how to whine and complain, how easy it comes to tempt other people to share our sins while we so condemn them for their sins. How difficult it is. And our sins are always minute, small little specks on the radar, while other people's sins are so profound and gross and unspeakable. We certainly don't want to believe we're in the same class. Why we lie to ourselves and saying, I'm always right. I'm always good. I'm always worthy of great respect by everyone around me. Why, if everyone else was as good as I am, wow, this would be a wonderful world to live in. And so go the lies we tell ourselves. And we don't even recognize those as lies, as sins, or the severity of our sins. Now, I would imagine, if we were to take a poll here, and I asked everyone, raise your hand if you think you've ever sinned. Well, we all would raise our hands. We wouldn't be so preposterous. But how about, are we really slaves to sin? Would you raise your hand? Well, I'm no worse of a sinner than anyone else. Oh, great. In a world full of people addicted to sin, we just kind of fit in, huh? That doesn't say much for us. Would we still raise our hand if the question was, how many of us really believe that we deserve the dungeons of hell because of our sins? Would we still raise our hands? We should. It's interesting how that realization came to David Carr. He had destroyed just about everything in his life. And then, yet, he had 2 9-month-old twin daughters. And one day he locked him in the car so he could just take a quick trip into the drug house so he could get his next shipment of cocaine. Only takes 5 minutes, he was sure. Well, a couple hours later, he finally stumbled out back to the car, and then it dawned on him. The thought came to his mind, I have a forgiving God. But will he actually forgive me if I destroy these 2 little precious daughters? That was the first time in all his life of sinning that it dawned on him his sins could actually take him to hell. And that's when he started to go get help. Do we realize that our sins can actually take us to hell? That's how serious and grave they are. God isn't asking us this Lenten season to just kind of casually acknowledge, well, yeah, I guess I've done some things wrong, and I'm not quite as nice as I want people to think I am, but after all, we're all kind of tarnished in one way or another. No. We start off our Lenten journey with great sorrow. Sorrow over our sin. And all the damage it has done to us and to everyone else around us. We need to know it and own it and mourn over it. Much like King David, when God confronted him with his sin, he didn't just wave his hand and say, oh, yeah, I know. Don't bother me with that today. No, in Psalm 6, oh, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. Oh, Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, oh, Lord, how long? Do we also fear the Lord who sees how addicted to sin we truly are by nature? We need to have a holy fear. What is totally remarkable, though, is that this very same Lord comes with truth number 2 for this evening. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. No, notice, he's spelling out that a slave never has a permanent place in the family. And if we may remain slaves to sin, we are destined to be sent to hell. We have no place in heaven. But a son has a place in the home forever. And if that son comes and sets us free, we are truly free. Notice how Jesus is telling the world, I am the Son of God. And he has come to this earth specifically to set the prisoners free, to give us a holy pardon. Mr. Carr's story of becoming a recovering addict is a multifaceted fold process, many twists and turns, but he first detoxed. Then he got into a 12-step program that put into words the reality in his life. He was out of control. Out of control, destructive, and he could not save himself from that. And that it only took divine intervention from God alone. That's the only way he would ever be free of the grasp of addiction. Once again, you and I are just like David Carr. We are slaves to sin, factories of sin, sores that just keep on bleeding out sins until our Heavenly Father stepped in to intervene, to break that collar, to set us free, to give us a standing of being His own children. Just like David Carr's father cried and cried to see his lovely son sitting in his own vomit and a shadow of the man he used to be and so distorted because of, so the Heavenly Father looks down and sees how polluted and perverted and tormented we are because of our sins. Oh, the misery and suffering we have heaped upon ourselves and everyone else around us. And our Heavenly Father has compassion. So he turns to his son and he says, go, my son, go to that sin-infected world and redeem it. Take on their flesh and bones, become one of them, so that you might make peace with me. Walk their path and take on the curse of their sin, so that I might bless them. I will strike you down so I can pick them up. I will turn my back on you so I can turn my face toward them. I will punish you for their sins so that I might give them your righteous holiness, your perfection. You will be buried for their sins so that I might give them life. And you will rise on the third day to open the gates of heaven and win victory for all mankind. And then I will send my Holy Spirit to create faith in their lives. That light of the truth of who God is and what He's done, that they might be aglow, that this sinful nature might no longer control them, and that they might be thoroughly mine. Is that not love? And that's why we're here this evening, isn't it? To once again walk with our Savior, to listen to Jesus' voice in our ears as He walks us through each step of God's master plan for making us His own, for setting us free. It's Ash Wednesday. In a lot of churches, there's ashes that we wipe on people's foreheads to remind them, from dust you came and to dust you will return. And indeed, everything we hold near and dear, the things of this world and the people of this world, we will all turn into dust. But the miracle is, as we turn into dust, our soul isn't going to descend to the inner recesses of hell to be tormented. It will ascend with our Savior to the very throne room of God to stand in the glory of His grace and goodness for all eternity. He set us free. This curse of sin is no longer on our head. He has set us free even while we live here today. Satan no longer rules us. That those demons inside do not have control over us. With one little word, we can make them flee. To call on the name of our Savior, we will not live in sin and shame. He has broken that addiction. He has vanquished our enemy. He has set us free in time and for eternity. And that is so worthy of our praise, our adoration, of our Wednesday nights coming and walking with our Lord and eagerly anticipating a celebration of Good Friday and Easter again. How blessed we are to be able to see God in all of His grace and goodness. How blessed we are to be able to take that life-giving word out to others and call them from the highways and byways. Come, come, you who are enslaved by darkness, you who don't even understand how addicted you are to sin, come and be free. Free of guilt and sin and shame and the fear of dying. Come and meet the Savior that has set us free. David Carr was rescued from his life of addiction, and he would comment several times, how did this all happen, that I should rise to such a high level with the New York Times? In so many ways, he should have been destroyed. And he saw it as a gift from God, that everything should go so well for him. So also, in so many ways, we should have been destroyed. And who's more worthy of the dungeons of hell than us? And what do we get instead? The mansions of heaven. The abiding love of our Lord. The forgiveness of our Savior. To have His name written on our hearts and souls and lives. Rejoice. We have a God who saves and saves completely. To Him be our thanks and praise now and forever. And that's no lie. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, we thank You for Your grace in Jesus Christ, that we who were rebellious enemies have now been made into Your dear children. Bless us and strengthen us in this truth divine, dear Lord, that we might push back the darkness of the lies of this world and walk in the light of Your truth, now and forevermore, in Christ our Savior. Amen.